The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 590. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, Manny literally just said he's coming, so I guess he'll show up when he shows up. I guess he forgot that Sundays we do Throw Down, even though we've been doing it for 14 years, but it is what it is. but we do have a couple of people missing, so no Brett action, as we told you. He's probably going to come back on Thursday. No Chris. No Brian. Brian, you know, he basically hasn't been getting enough sleep lately because it's been really hot in the UK and they don't have AC over there. So he's been going through it. Half of my team, who is also based UK, have been going through it. So I get it. And Adam, who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us and show up, you know? What's up?
So here's a question, and I should have asked Brian.
Oh,
like, don't they have like those propeller stand fans that you put on the floor, like, and you just put it straight on your bedroom? Like back in the day, before I even had AC and lived in the desert, I just got one of those fans and put it directly next to me in the bed.
I mean,
that was good.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that was the thing I used in Dominican Republic, you know, and actually most of my life here too before I got an AC. Yo, by the way, I saw this crazy thing. I never knew this. Like, apparently, if you tape two ice bottles to the back of the fan, it's like really cold air. I'm like, oh shit, that's clever. I never would have thought to do something like that. You know,
that ingenuity.
Yeah, but now I don't know why. You know, maybe these dudes need to just use fans because, like you said, bro, that's the shit you use. You know.
Yeah, and those are pretty cheap.
They are very cheap.
One for like 30 bucks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hey, there's Manny. Manny forgot that we do Throwdown on Sundays.
Well, usually I get a reminder, but for some reason for today, it didn't do that.
Yeah, that's what I figured too. I was like, hold on.
It looks like I'm getting a phone call. That's what usually happens.
Yeah. Did your spider sense go off? You're like, hey, wait a minute. What's going on?
I was distracted by the fact that Deadpool and Blade got announced for Marvel Tokon.
Yes, 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 they did. And that's probably why
the answer is yes.
Yes. Pretty cool stuff. You know, Blade is in the game. Reggie, are you all right, Reggie? He said he was driving. He couldn't breathe. He was about to cry. Yeah. What do you think of that announcement? Since this is a question show.
I mean, it's cool stuff, man. Like, it's just cool to see that, you know, like that. All the announcements were actually pretty damn cool. Like, you know, they even had a Grand Blue Fantasy update where they put a new character in there. I'm like, what the fuck? Grand Blue Fantasy got something new, and then so did Blaze Blue. Like, damn, like, Arc System Works is like they're doing it, man. Like,
they're cooking.
They're keeping all of their fighting games, like, you know, up to date, at least the most of the new ones, and then they got Tokon coming.
Yep. Manny, are you getting Tokon? Because I know you're not really a fighting game guy as much as you used
to. I'm not really
be
a fighting game guy, but I'm kind of want to play that one. It looks fun.
Let's play.
I wish there was I like that there's some new guys. I like that there's some new guys, but I feel I was a little getting a little bit bored of the usual suspects.
Yeah.
You know, okay, Magneto's in there. But then I saw Maximilian was sort of said he played him, and he's sort of different. He's different than he is.
Yeah.
And then there's also a lot of, like, even though they can't directly say certain things, like do certain things, they literally have a bunch of references to, like, the books and to the old games. Like, you'll see at one point, like, Magneto, who, like, in his poses, he'll do that little, his little hand thing, what he does from the Marvel game, you know, the Capcom games. And then fucking Deadpool, he's literally doing Jacko. He has Jacko's crouch animation. Jacko,
you know, yes.
That like was a huge meme, like for like artists and fans of fighting games, like literally drawing their characters with their butt sticking up in the air. So they literally put Deadpool in that stupid. That's funny. Like, oh, isn't that fitting? It's the company that made that character.
That's great.
So that's Mickey that's doing the meme joke.
What's up, Carlos?
I got a question for you guys. So is Blade Wesley Snipes?
Oh, is he played by him, you mean?
No.
This game? No.
No, not played, but like it looks like
the Marvel Universe Blade. Is it Wesley Snipes? Well, at least for now it is.
Yeah, I mean, there is no MCU Blade. There
is no MCU Blade. So, like, you know, in the rumors of that last, the Avengers Doomsday film, they say Tom Holland's not going to be in it, but there's rumors that they're literally just, it's going to be a whole movie of all the old characters. So it's going to be a Fox X-Men, you know, it's going to be Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, you know, and I, you know, who's to say that Blade isn't even in it too, you know, Wesley Blade.
Yeah.
But well, Daredevil, not Daredevil, Deadpool and, Wolverine had that.
Man, I need Daredevil in this fucking game. He's never been in a fighting game before.
No, he hasn't. They have him in the
he's in the game, but it's Matt Murdock, I believe.
It's Matt Murdock. But they have like they have him in that other one. Well, it's not a fighting game, but that Marvel Rivals, they put him in there. I feel like Marvel Rivals is sort of getting a little deep cutty when it comes to some of them. Like, okay, they got the Thing, they got all of the Fantastic Four in there.
Good.
I think Johnny's not in yet.
Man, I'm telling you, this fucking game is a 4v4 fighting game. Have the Fantastic Four, you know?
So, but I mean, that's it, right? Are we in with all the characters?
This is it. This is the launched lineup, yeah.
Okay. This is it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
this is the one.
I mean, you can create the new Fantastic Four.
You can.
They should have a thing for that. Like, because aren't there like some sort of like connecting factors between all the different teams, right?
I don't know about that, but they did say if you make certain combinations, you will get some kind of bonuses. So maybe somebody over there knows their history, and if you put the new Fantastic Four together, Ghost Rider, Hulk, Wolverine, and fucking and Spider-Man, you'll get something, you know. Maybe they'll have a even if it's just a specific name, that'd be cool, you know. Like, just let the fans know. By the way, man, you'll like this, what Reggie said, because you know he's always begging you to draw stuff. So he goes, Emilio, you know what you have to do. Please, bro, please, please, please draw Blade. I need this, man. We need this for the next upcoming throwdown draws. I'm speaking it into existence. It is written and it will be done.
I did take the time to draw I like to call them street people.
Straight people?
Street people.
I thought you said straight. Okay, street people. No,
street people. You know, street. I drew a new homegirl from the they added. The Filipino girl.
I'm forgetting her name now, but yeah, that's cool. There you go, yeah. Reggie. Go check Erica that Tavis. Out. You know,
I haven't posted it yet. I still got it in the works. It's still sketching, but
yeah. Hey, there you go. Throw down draws.
Yeah.
Bring that back. Vanessa is her name. I forgot her name. Yeah, well, she's like brand new. We're not gonna remember it right away.
You're not gonna remember her name right away, but I think they had some gameplay of her, or she's out or something like that.
There's a lot of cool, so we could talk about Evo later, but there's a lot of good stuff that came out of Evo.
We'll talk about
Kenshiro is available now. If you have Fatal Fury, the latest, season, he's out now. He's available right now.
Wait, is he like a DLC character, or is he just literally, they just put him in?
He's in the game. He's in the roster.
So you don't need to pay for him.
No, you need the season 2 pass.
Okay.
You need the season 2 pass, obviously.
Okay. I was going to say,
and season 3 starts in July, which is a few days from now. These guys are, listen, I said this before. At first, it really bothered me. The Saudis were, pretty much ONSNK, but But they're putting a lot of money into this game. They released six new characters this year, and they're probably going to release six more. It's like a character a month, basically. You know, so and then they're bringing back all these old fighting games, like fucking Ninja's Masters and shit. I'm like, I barely remember that shit. And they're bringing it back with rollback netcode and everything, you know?
All right. I guess so. They own Evo now.
Yeah, they've resurrected Art of Fighting 3. They're rebalancing this old fucking game. It's like, what? You know, I'm like, hey, listen. Manny, you see the mind I'm in, right? I don't want the Saudis to own the shit, but I like all this stuff that's happening.
It's like, I guess it's a kind of good thing you have the Murder Prince as the guy.
I'm glad he's a fan of SNK.
Yeah, I guess he is. You know, it's funny because even dudes lightly pulled away from Evo.
Oh, yeah. Some people flat out. Like you didn't see Max there, for example. He still streamed it.
He gave an economical answer. But he's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. Da, 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 da. And then he just went about his way. But he did mention that he didn't want to be involved.
Yeah, a lot of guys are in that position. But yeah, let's get with it, man. Throw out your questions. And this is the cast for tonight. Everybody else is gone. All right, Lego Bro starts us off. And shout out to Lego Bro, man. I talk to him on Twitter. He hits me up every once in a while. Good guy.
Good stuff.
All right, since GTA 6 is practically a digital title, will this game tip the scales to an all-digital future for consoles? You're never going to see an all-digital future, but it's already kind of there, too. Like, last time I checked, 85% of game sales are digital. So it's already kind of there. But like I said, we're going to go to a place where you're going to have more companies like someone that you like, Manny, that makes those boutique games. I'm forgetting the name of them.
Devolver Digital?
No, they do special editions.
Limited run games.
We're going to see that become more of a thing, you know?
One thing I do notice is that nowadays it's become more and more common that the physical edition of a game comes like a few months later.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's one of the rumors we're hearing about. Actually, it's interesting. That was the rumor about GTA 6, but now Rockstar kind of shot that down. Like, oh, yeah.
They said, nah.
Yeah, they said no.
The only one.
But the thing is, they know. They know most people buy the games digitally, right? Here's the thing. And I said this before, too, right? If we here on Throwdown just stuck within our spheres, and I'm specifically talking about even our Discord group, we would think physical was king, you know, but that's not how the majority cares to, you know, I hate to say this, consume their games. They don't care. They're like, they just give it. And on PC, there is no physical. It's all digital there. So people are already used to it. So yeah, I know you're asking like, will this be the future is already here. You know, it's already happened.
Definitely the pandemic really pushed everything toward that. Like if it was half, then the pandemic just pushed it right over.
It was
to like 75%, right? Something like that.
Here's the thing. Before the pandemic, it was already around 70%. It was already there. Then the pandemic just really pushed it over the edge, you know?
Yeah, I still prefer to buy a physical game, but I feel like now if these things are boutique games, so then why are they going to put out a piece of shit version of a game then on a disc?
I agree.
The guys who made the game Slitterhead, the Boca Game Studio, the only edition that you could buy a Slitterhead is a really nice, like, super edition of the game. Comes with an art book, comes with stickers, comes with all this shit, and it's all normal price. It's not even, like, you know, like, I think they just recently just went down in price. But, yeah, the only version that you can buy physically is that really nice version. So, to me, if we're gonna go down the line of saying, okay, you know, we're gonna release the physical later, then make the physical better. Put a book in it. Yeah. Put some other extra shit inside of it.
I agree. Yeah, if we're gonna go down that road, then do that. you know, because that way, you know, you cater to the majority that just wants it digital, and then you also cater to the people that want physical, and you give them something really nice.
And then not to mention, the one that's probably physical is has a more recent version that has all the more recent patches, unlike the one that you would get digitally where you had to get that day one patch and all that other stuff. That's one thing that limited run games does, is they usually wait for a version, like a really completed version of it before they burn it. So like before they make them into discs, like I think Hi-Fi Rush had that last, update that they had done on it, and they wanted to make sure that that was on disc.
A certain effort says GTA 6 will still sell more than any game combined the last 5 years. We're not saying it's not going to sell because of this. The game's going to be a monster.
It's gonna you just put GTA on it, but here's the thing, if that thing's a piece of shit, they'll kill that franchise.
Yeah, so they get rid of it's a bomb ass game. That's not even in question. This game will be a sales monster, and I'm curious to hear what's going to happen tomorrow, Monday, about how much it sold in the first 3 days. The physical stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just being honest, even the guys complaining that it's not physical, they're going to buy the fucking game day one.
Yeah, they're going to buy it.
Yeah,
they're going to buy it day one.
And there's a reason why GTA 6 took 13 years to come out. Besides the fact that GTA 5 was and online was printing money, but one of it is that GTA 6 is the worst enemy to GTA's survival.
Yeah,
because if it's not good, it can kill the franchise. That's why I'm pretty sure they're extra precautious about releasing this. So this whole thing with the physical digital stuff, you know, it sucks. You know, I feel for the people that are physical only buyers. But, you know, the trends were already there. And these companies were already, you know, moving this way anyways. So it looks like this was just inevitability. And I don't know. Does anybody else, you know, kind of, you know, the whole one of their biggest excuses is, well, they don't want anyone to get the physical edition. Do you feel like that is at least a good excuse for the physical only crowd?
Wait, so I got distracted by a certain Air Force. Would you ask? What was your question?
So. One of their top excuses that Rockstar gave for releasing this digitally initially is, oh, we don't, you know, or at least it's been reported. I don't think Rockstar said this, but it's been reported. Oh, well, we don't want people to get the game ahead of time and break, you know.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a good excuse for people that are physical only buyers?
Like, will they accept that excuse?
No, I'm saying from an objective perspective, do you think that should be a good excuse for physical people to take? Not that they'll take it that way, but you're like, hey, man, I mean, they make a good point.
You know what? I'm going to say no, because if this was Resident Evil, where you can beat it in 10 hours and get the whole thing spoiled, then sure. Mm-hmm. This is a game that's going to take you like 40 hours to beat. You're only going to get, the first 10 hours spoiled, maybe? So I'm going to say no. I don't think that's a good excuse. Or rather, I don't think physical people should buy that as an excuse. I think it's a good reason, but I don't buy it for this game specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to spoil in those first few hours? You can't. Yeah. You can't spoil the ending because the game, it would have to be, or are they printing these discs a month ahead of time? Then maybe, you know, they're not doing that. They're, like you said, Carlos, they're waiting till the last minute to print this shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
And here's the thing.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
With the whole physical thing, they're doing the strategy that I thought they would do this scene, because this is a multi-tiered strategy with Rockstar. Number one, with the physical stuff, they know that a significant chunk of the people buying the game are going to buy it day one.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to sell it to people without the disc. And why is that important? Because the margins are higher when you're not selling a physical copy of the game. It takes money to buy, ship, print, and do all that stuff with the disc and release it. That takes money. So if you do it digitally, they make more money off of you. You know, and number two, there's also the whole thing. I think Manny mentioned this in the last episode. It's they don't want to go gold. Yeah, they probably don't have anything ready right now to go gold. So they are just waiting last minute to push whatever update is ready for the digital release. And you know, and then my whole thing that I've been harking on this for more than a year now is they're doing a multi-tiered release strategy, an artificial release strategy. Number one, they're releasing the game digitally. So most of the people that are hyped for the game, whether they're physical or not, are still going to buy this game because they're hyped for this game. Number two, they're releasing the physical edition later on for the people who are hyped for this game and are digital and are physical people. And then we're going to get the next generation releases of these things. And then we're going to get the PC release of this thing. So it's all a huge ass rollout for Rockstar. All of this is planned.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Rich, what's your take on this, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.? There he is.
Sorry about that. I was adjusting something on the computer. So you're asking the question about this is answering Carlos's question about the
The main question about, you know, will GTA 6 bring in the, you know, an all digital future? And like we've been kind of saying, it's already here.
Oh yeah,
you know.
No. Yeah, just like you guys said, this is already a thing. You know, I know we obviously review a lot of games.
Yeah.
Most of the games we receive are digital codes. The physical stuff stopped a long time ago. For me, I do recall getting The Ballad of Gay Tony and all the other GTA stuff sent by Rockstar, the physical copies. But no, this game is not something that's going to push the digital thing forward. Like I said, it's already here. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, you're right. And to your point, the last time I received a physical game to review was in 2014. That was the last time. They don't send, you know, because it doesn't make any sense. And that's also around the time I personally stopped buying physical, because I'm like, wait, if I have to install the entire game onto the hard drive, what's the point? You know, because at least before, you know, most of the game was on the disc, so it wasn't taking up that much hard drive space. But if the whole game's on, you know, on the hard drive, I see no point. So I stopped, you know. And now it's to the point where you get an empty box with a code. So it's like, yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, I understand exactly what you mean. I did want to make a comment, though, based off of what Carlos said, because you got to also understand, Carlos, GameStop is going to be very angry with how Rockstar is handling this, because they cannot make money off of the used copies of the game.
Yep.
So that's the other thing to consider. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Oh,
all 10 of those stores.
Shit. Oh, by the way, this is the comment that distracted me from Assyrian Air Force. I do feel it's important to bring up just because how stupid it is. I am not kidding you. People are already selling this game on eBay for $130. Guys, they can't run out. They can't run out of digital copies.
You can't run out of digital copies.
And people are buying them. They're fucking dumb.
Stupid ass people.
It's amazing.
Theoretically, you don't even need to pre-order a digital
copy. No, you don't.
You don't. You just.
You could literally, you buy whatever the hell you want anytime. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be, but people are buying them. They're buying, and remember, it's not like you're going to get anything from these eBay guys, you know, for months. And then when they do send you your copy that costs you $130, what are you getting? A fucking box with a code in it. Idiots. You know, these are the same people. This is why we have signs like, open 7 days a week, even Sunday. Why do they have to have the Sunday in there? Because people ask, even though it says 7 days a week. Morons, bro. I will say this, though. Here's just a theory I have, and it may be wrong, but who knows? Maybe one of the other reasons the game's not physical is because it's fucking big, that it would need like two discs. Or something like that. A dual layer
Blu-ray?
Yeah, or maybe quadruple layer, you know? So, you know, who knows? Maybe like, but that's scary too, isn't it? Right? What if you have a regular base PS5, bro, and you got to download this fucking 230 gigabyte game, you know? Telling you, man. So that could be another reason. It's just, it's too big, you know?
Yo, Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that is a very valid reason. I'm sure you saw the leaked image, obviously taken from the Xbox store. None of it, and again, that could have been just a altered image, but the file size.
What was it?
Was like 647 gigabytes?
Nah, they're crazy. No fucking way. Yo, that's like, that's insane. That's the equivalent of like, you know, E3 leaks that's written on a text file and shit. Like, no way. Too fake. Yeah. What were you going to say? Yeah, we're going to say, Carlos.
I will say this. GTA 6 might be a large ass file for the PlayStation, for the base PlayStation. And I do have the base PlayStation, and I do worry about the that. Base, but you know, station. What gives me nightmares? The base station's 5. You know what gives me nightmares? You know what keeps me up at night? The performance on that thing. That PS5 is going to be fighting for his goddamn life playing that damn game.
Oh man. Yeah. To quote Rich, we will see what happens, man. All right, let's move on here. Another one from Mr. Lego Bro. What will be the breaking point for gamers regarding hardware price increases? Recently, as we know, both Xbox and PlayStation have had their lowest hardware sales in years. Yeah, actually, we didn't talk about that because the reports didn't come out until Friday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been reported, surprise, surprise, the PlayStation 5 has had its lowest hardware sales in years. Why? Because the consoles cost so goddamn much, you know? That is a good question. What is going to be the breaking point? My answer is I have no fucking idea, because we have idiots that when the prices of consoles go up, they just buy them, you know, instantly buy them, you know. And here's the thing. Even though I think it's retarded, I also kind of get it, because you know the price is going to go up again, you know. I saw the report today that, you know, what's it like? Memory prices are going to go up another 40% by the end of the year, and then another 40% by the end of next year. So it's like we haven't seen our last console price increase. There's going to be more, you know. And you motherfuckers want to sit there and tell me that the PS6 is going to cost $600? Matter of fact, I saw another report. Now take this one with a grain of salt. That apparently, as things stand, the PS6 is going to cost PlayStation around almost $1,000 to manufacture.
Damn.
Right? You know, with current cost of things, you know? So, come on, guys. But yeah, I you know, if you guys, you know, have me more insight into this, I would love to know. I honestly don't know what the breaking point is for gamers, because whales exist and we've seen it. They don't give a fuck. They just buy the shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and also the game, the console sales are less. But we got to also consider the fact that it's the end of the generation, and compared to PlayStation 4, it went down in price. So I'm pretty sure that the PS5, for example, the PS5 Pro now is like at least 3 times as much as a PlayStation 4 was at its point of the generation. So they're probably generating just as much money with lower sales. But yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know what the break-even point is for gamers. But I have a feeling we're kind of getting there.
Yeah. But yeah, what do you guys, Manny, what do you think is the breaking point for gamers?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are just a bunch of lemmings. They just accept what is being given to them. They don't question any of it, especially some of the truths. Just like, well, that's just what it is, you know, and then they'll repeat the marketing bullshit that those companies will throw at, they'll throw for their supposed reasoning. You know, how is it that the prices are going up for these things when a lot of these things are things that are already in stock from previously?
Yeah,
it's bullshit, because you're not paying for the idea is that all new manufacturing needs that sort of stuff. The shit that's sitting in the shelves right now, that shit's probably been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
So that is probably way before when we start seeing those consoles that are made in that landscape, they're probably going to be at least, you know, maybe a few months off or maybe a year off. So they're already squeezing people, and will be, you know, when they don't really need to. And then the other kicker about any of this shit is, do you think for any fucking reason they would lower the price?
No way.
If they know that you guys will go and buy it for that exorbitant price, And we just proven that you accepted a price increase.
Yeah. Twice.
They're going to do it twice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The numbers are showing that they're dropping. So they better not do it again. Cause
yeah. So yeah,
you know, they're bleeding. Their thing about it is, it's like, I get it. They, you know, manufacturing costs have gone up because of the memory issue, you know, PlayStation, Sony used to manufacture hardware at one point. Too bad they don't do that shit no more. This probably would have been a situation that if they still had their factories, they could have probably done it on their own.
Problem is there's only three companies that make RAM now, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they made their own RAM back then, because that's the thing that's really driving the costs up at the end of the day. Thank you to AI. Just be honest here, you know, because you motherfuckers need to make videos of Captain America fighting a herd of cats. We got to pay for all this shit, you know? It's crazy because you motherfuckers don't know how to plan a vacation, because you motherfuckers don't know how to Google shit, you know? We got to deal with this stuff. It's fucking insane because you can't write a fucking email, you know? You can't do shit that you were able to do just 2 years ago just fine, you know? Now we got to pay extra for everything because you're too fucking lazy and stupid, you know? Anyway, Rich, what do you think, man? Go ahead, Manny.
No. I was just agreeing.
Yeah, Rich, what do you think is going to be the breaking point for gamers when it comes to hardware?
Tony, that is a phenomenal question. I have to say, I don't know, because, you know, I feel like people are going to continue, even if it's the whales, they're still going to be buying stuff left and right. You were talking earlier about Grand Theft Auto software, people still buying this, even though the pre-orders, because again, I heard that Rockstar, Take-Two, they've already made billions off the pre-orders, and they haven't even shown any gameplay footage. So it's a good question. I guess we're going to have to wait and see. Obviously, I don't know anyone that's buying a Steam machine. Well, at least not on this show. I don't know anybody buying a Steam machine. But I feel like regardless of how much the things cost, I think there will always be some people willing to buy some of this stuff. So it may not impact everybody, but yeah, if the prices continue to go up across the board on memory and stuff like that, then, oh yeah, I think a lot of people are going to have to make some tough decisions about whether or not they need to buy a certain game or upgrade their hardware over time.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Moving on. Black Metal Gamer. Right. And this first question is kind of a conspiracy question. Is Microsoft constantly raising console prices to push people towards PC, or do you think it's trying to push Xbox to the point of complete collapse so it can sell off Xbox to someone else? Everybody's raising prices, bro. It's not just Xbox. So I don't know where that's coming from. It's like, it's not just Microsoft, bro. PlayStation did it twice already, and they're going to do it again, you know? This is why the Steam
machine. It's your MacBooks.
Yeah, it's MacBooks just did it. Everything's going up. It's not just Xbox, you know? With that said, I do think companies would love to have you on the dole with a digital subscription, you know, streaming service or whatever. They would love that, but I don't think that's the play here. The play is that you have idiots like Sam Altman buying up 40% of the world's RAM, and it's just driving the cost of everything up. You know, so, and these companies are just forced to deal with it, you know, so I don't think there's a grand conspiracy here, you know, it's just everybody's going through it. It's not just Xbox. So, you know, again, listen to Throwdown. We broke down the whole PlayStation thing twice already, and watch, we will have to do it again because it won't be the last time, you know, but yeah, I don't think I kind of debunked that one. Everybody's going through it right now, you know. Another one from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. Which studios do you still see around in the next 5 years, given the state of the gaming industry and the world in general? Capcom's going to be around. They're not going anywhere, you know? Square Enix Capcom will be around.
I think even Konami will be around.
Konami will be around, you know, too. As a matter of fact, I think it's safe to say most Japanese developers are fine. Fucking Nintendo. And I'm assuming, man, I'm being very careful with my answer here because we know a little bit more. I'm assuming that 10% pay raise was for Japanese employees that Nintendo gave.
Yeah.
You know?
The 10% pay raise was for Nintendo Japan. It wasn't for global.
Yeah.
At least that's one. Another, I saw another article that showed up about that. And yeah, it was just for good. It was,
I will say this. We do have an inside source, and I'm not even making that up. It's not Chris. We have an inside source. No, it's probably just in Japan. Not happening in America. Because it's fucking, but I don't want to go down into the whole, which studios do we think will be gone? Cause that's just, like we said before, that's just kind of cruel to do shit like that. Oh, this studio's gonna die, you know? Unless you know they're gonna die, you know? Like Bungie. Here's the thing, Bungie is probably not gonna be around the next five years, unfortunately, you know? I think Ubisoft will still be around, but somebody else is gonna own them, you know? Xbox will probably still be around in some form. PlayStation, obviously, will still be around. But yeah, what about...
Hold on.
Go ahead, bro.
I just want to remind you, Tony, you were talking about Bungie.
Yeah.
It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. So, yes, if Marathon is successful, maybe Bungie will be around. But I would not hold my breath. You guys mentioned, obviously, Capcom. They'll still be around. Square Enix, Konami is a very good one because they're having a lot of success with Silent Hill and all the other stuff they're working on. I'm also going to say it was on the tip of my tongue.
Was it a Japanese studio or what's the one?
I think Insomniac will still be around because clearly they're working on a lot of different things. So I think they'll still be around. Yeah. And yeah, like you say, a lot of the Japanese studios will still be around. I would like to see what RGG Studio was doing in the next 5 years. Stuff like that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else with studios do we think will be around?
Capcom is going to outlive everyone.
Yeah. Again, I think Japanese studios are good. I think they're going to be just fine.
Nintendo,
you already know. All right, moving on here. Got a couple questions from Mr. Matt Wheaton. This one's interesting. Speaking of game preservation and owning games, do you think that SD cards may be the future of media, like what Nintendo did with the Switch? I don't see anybody else putting their media on SD cards besides Nintendo. So I don't think so, but I could be wrong. What do you guys think?
Sure. Is that the future of physical media?
Yeah. But again, no one else is doing it besides Nintendo.
Nobody. There's no other consoles. I mean, nobody else is doing it. Not even like Steam. Steam is just doing it all, you know, download.
Yeah. And with how big these game file sizes are.
Even to the fact of like, you know, Nintendo, some of Nintendo's games aren't actually fully on the disc. I mean, on the little drives, you have to download a portion of it from online.
Yeah. He does mention that he goes before they went fumbled. So yeah, no, yeah, I don't think so. I'm you know, I'm just going to say, no, it's not the future. It's no one is doing it. It's just Nintendo. And even like Manny just said, they're halfway doing it now, you know? So yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, by the way, Manny, I see the Jacko pose. Fucking hilarious.
Yep, there's Jacko pose. There's a Jacko pose. There's a Johnny Cage split punch.
Yeah.
There's a get over here, like uppercut punch and a toasty Deadpool comes out.
He's also doing that slide where he's like that. Like, which character is that one again? Like with the cross arms. Oh,
that's Dr. Doom.
That's Dr. Doom, right?
That's the Dr. Doom double kick, missile kick that he
does.
That's
right.
versus Capcom.
Oh, man.
So he's hitting all the bases. Also, somebody found that he throws out one of a PlayStation mascot. Remember that spiky, remember Polygon Man?
Yes.
He throws Polygon Man in one of his poses or one of his moves.
Yeah. And then one of his super moves, he brings out the other Deadpool. So there's girl Deadpool, the kid Deadpool, the dog Deadpool, the zombie Deadpool. The
zombie head one. Yeah. So he's also being played by Nolan North.
Hey, he's back. There you go.
He's back as Deadpool. Yeah. He's played him at least 12 other times. This is across all video games and movies. I mean, shows like
cartoons. Animation. Yeah, that's right.
So excuse me, 12 times. So this would be 13.
Crazy.
The 13th time that he played.
Lucky number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at the roster right now. So you have three rows of four and then two rows to four, and there's space there. I'm wondering if before the end of the year, we're going to get a fill up that space. Get the Fantastic Four in that bitch. I'm just saying, we've never had the Fantastic Four in a fighting game before. We never had them. So this would be your chance, Marvel and PlayStation. Make it happen, you know? Excelsior. Reggie says, watching the live reactions of Tokon when Blade came out, crowd went nuts. Yeah, they went crazy. Reggie, you almost crashed your car, you know? Shit is real right now. All right, another one here from Mr. Matt Wheaton. Between the Nintendo Switch 2, PS5, and Xbox Series X, which console do you think would be the most viable next to the PC as far as gaming goes? I'm not sure I quite understand this question. Carlos, I'm going to go to you because you have a good knack of deciphering these.
I was about to ask you if you could repeat it, actually.
Okay. Between the Switch, PS5, and Xbox Series X, which console would be the most viable next to the PC as far as gaming?
I guess in terms of parity of performance, maybe?
I honestly, no, he says in as far as gaming, but yeah, right. Gaming performance, gaming library. I don't know.
I lean towards gaming performance if I were to choose one.
And
I guess one.
That would be the PS5 Pro by default, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That by far. I mean, I don't know. Well, and here's the thing. The question is either that or not that, because I don't know why the Switch is brought up.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Is this the newest?
Yeah.
Maybe is it? Yeah, so. If we're answering, oh, go ahead, Rich.
Oh no, I have a comment, but I'll wait till after you go.
Yeah, so if I'm reading the question correctly, I guess that's the way I interpret it, and it's definitely the PS5 Pro. That's the best console out right now in terms of performance.
Yeah, it is. You know, go ahead, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a trick question. I don't know if he's talking about performance. But if he's talking about gaming, the answer is obviously the PlayStation 5. Why? Because a lot of people seem to believe PlayStation 5 is where every game is at, you know, and this is the marketing that PlayStation does. We've all seen the Grand Theft Auto design on the PlayStation app, because I see it on my phone today. A lot of people gravitate towards that because, yes, that is the number one console right now next to Nintendo Switch, and obviously Xbox is number three. And then, of course, whenever you see a game coming out, you find out that the game is coming to PlayStation, because in their presentations, they're telling you it's coming to PlayStation. It's not coming to any other console. It's coming to PlayStation. Maybe it'll come to PC. But clearly, when you're talking about video games and having a library, it's PlayStation 5. Maybe Nintendo Switch 2? But I don't know, because I don't know too many games on Nintendo Switch 2. I haven't heard Carlos talking too much about his Nintendo Switch 2 since he has purchased it. So I'm going to say PlayStation 5 is the answer.
Yeah. Again, that's our interpretation. So hopefully we answered it correctly. But that's what it seems like to us. All right. Moving on here. Oh, we got some sponsored questions. Mr. Ramudeth. Sponsoring two extra questions. So this first one here is from Lego Bro. This one's interesting. And Carlos, you might be the best one equipped to answer this one. Since Microsoft is worth so much money, couldn't they just buy an SSD company or make their own SSDs?
Well, if it were that easy, then people would just make their own SSD companies. And here's the thing. There's not that many companies that make memory. Whether that's RAM memory, or is that SSD memory, or there's just so not as many. And right now they're just exploding in evaluation. I mean, Micron has gone up tenfold in the last year.
Ridiculous.
I don't think they have enough money to. Let me see. Let me real quick. Let me look at Micron real quick. I'm gonna see their market cap.
Yeah. While you I'll.
I found it.
Oh, you found it. Okay. Go ahead.
Micron, can you guys give me any guesses of how much Micron is worth?
Well,
as a company,
we did say, how much they're worth. Okay, that's different. So I was going to say how much did their stock go up, because I do know that, because we talked about it on a Thursday show. What are they worth? Are they in the trillion part? Are they in the trillion club?
Oh yeah, 1.28 trillion.
I'm assuming they hit that in the last year.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they weren't definitely not a $1 trillion company like a year ago.
Damn, son.
So Microsoft can't just buy this company out, or any of, or a lot of these companies that are going, you know, they're going up in price like this. They could probably get a startup.
Yeah.
But they'd be putting their worth on Xbox to make video games. You know, it's not a done deal.
Yeah. And then here's the question I have. Maybe you can answer it for me, right? Like, because I could be off base here, right? Let's just say a company decided we're going to make RAM now, right? It's going to take them years to get that operation going.
Oh, yeah.
If they could even get the materials, because isn't that part of the problem too? Like the materials that you need to make this stuff?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, and I'm again, the reason I'm really glad we're, because I know this is not technically a video game question, but it's just good to know, because, Carlos, I've had so many people come at me, you know, these people making excuses. Just build more RAM factories. Like, it's that fucking easy, you know?
Yeah.
Thing about it is, it's got to be designed. It doesn't just happen. Like, you know, it's not like a fucking a TD Bank or a Wendy's where they just have that one design to just plop it down somewhere and you're good to go.
Yeah, they're like, oh, if the supply's low, just make more supply.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that comes to making chips and semiconductors and all that stuff. There's a process to make all of that takes like really significant amount of resources or technologies like ASML, TSMC, who manufactures them, and the design. So it's a long ass process. And if you're starting from square one, you're not even guaranteed to be at the caliber of that. And it takes a lot of CapEx to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of freaking CapEx that might not even be worth it.
Yeah, making computer chips ain't like making potato chips, man. It takes a long time, you know? Who else has they're making 7 RAM factories? Great. When are they going to start churning shit out? It ain't going to be for a while, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they built was it NVIDIA or I forgot which company said they're building and making chips in the US. I think of Phoenix, but they're making the lower level chips.
Like, yeah.
TSMC was getting a branch here. But it's like, oh, like we don't trust you motherfuckers with the 3 nanometers or the 2 nanometers. We're giving you the 5 and the 6 or I don't know what number it would be.
Damn.
But yeah, they give them the lower tier stuff.
Of course. So. You know, this shit costs a lot of money. But yeah, oh, just make more. Okay, bro. The people are
fucking like Yul says, they are building more factories and more fabs and all that stuff for a lot of these things. But it's usually just the companies that are already established.
Like, yeah, that's the problem. Like, there's no new companies doing this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. We're fucked, bro. We're so fucked. All right, another sponsored one here, originally from Matt Wheaton. Nice change of pace here. since Star Fox Remake is big right now, I just want to ask if you guys play any on-rail shooters. And if so, what are your favorite ones? Personally, mine would be Panzer Dragoon Orta for the OG Xbox, Sin and Punishment 1 and 2 on the N64, and Wii, Night Striker Gear from Steam, Rez on the PS2, and Afterburner Climax on the 360. Here's the thing, because the way you framed the question was, what are we playing now? And you just named a bunch of old shit, you know? And that's not a dig at you. My point is, on-rail shooters are very fucking rare, you know? That's why, you know, something like Star Fox, like, oh, shit, remember these? Used to be all over the place. But yeah, to answer the question, the Panzer Dragoon games, you know, the first two specifically, were, like, epitome of on-rail shooters. I don't know if this is an on-rail shooter, but I'm going to count it as one, because you're locked. You can't move anywhere. Virtua Cop. Even though when you think of on-rail shooters, you think of like moving forward, not really side to side, but I'm throwing Virtua Cop in there. Fuck that. I also like Space Harrier, you know, Afterburner, bunch of Sega shit. Sega was the king of this stuff, you know? But yeah, nowadays I don't really play those just because they don't make them really anymore. But we used to play those a lot. But then again, you trying to avoid on-rail shooter back in the day was like trying to avoid a platformer. It was impossible. They were all over the place, you know? I do remember Die Hard Trilogy, you know? That was great. Part two was on rails, that's right. The fucking Terminator game, that was on rails. Again, different because you're not moving forward. Are those the same? I got to look that up now. Are those considered on-rail shooters? Because you are on a rail. It's just the rail's going in a different direction. You know?
Well, by that definition, I mean, Star Fox, I think, is an on-rail shooter. But
oh, no, it's absolutely. It wouldn't be. Because you're going forward, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, there's no question. I'm just wondering, is Virtual Cop an on-rail shooter? That's my question, you know?
I mean, yeah, I would think it would be because you don't have any real control over the... You don't have any control over where you move. I mean, you only have control of your cursor.
And yeah, that's
Star
it.
Fox in general is literally, it's just your cursor that you're shooting those things with, really, and you just see the thing in there. But yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to, yeah, they're all on-rail shooters. If you can't move, you know, it's an on-rail shooter. Anyway, Manny, what are some of your favorite on-rail shooters?
I mean, I liked the Silent Scope game.
Ooh, those are fun.
Those are kind of cool. And the House of the Dead was fun. I'd also put Virtua Cop and Area 51 from Midway.
Yeah.
And I guess
House of the Dead, right? That's on rail shooter, you know?
Yeah, that was a cool one.
Yeah.
Time Splitters. Time Killers or Time Splitters?
Splitters.
Are you sure? Because Time Splitters is one of them is a first person shooter.
Let's look it up.
One of them is the Namco game.
So I'm thinking
of Time Crisis.
Time Crisis.
Time Crisis. That's it.
Is that it? Yes, Time Crisis. You're right. That's it. That's time the crisis, one. That, not Time Splitters.
Time Splitters.
Time Crisis is the one they always had in the Midway theater, wasn't it? They always had that.
Yes. they always had that one. Yeah, so I mean, it was a good one. And you know, like for console ones, yeah, I would say, what was it? The second one.
Virtual Cop or
Virtual Cop. Yeah, Virtual Cop.
Yeah.
And you know, that Dead Space one was pretty fun.
Oh shit, that's right. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Typing of the Dead, that does count, you know. That's fun, man. All right,
Carl. Yeah, that's for me.
Yeah. What about you, Carlos?
Now, you guys pretty much mentioned all of them. I would probably add just, you know, from my childhood, Pokemon Snap.
that's an unreal shooter. That's fun.
Yeah, but instead of shooting guns, you shoot a camera.
you shoot.
Game. That's right. Yeah. X-Play was always talking about that. That's fun. What about you, Rich?
Yeah, you guys mentioned most of them. The only one that, a lot of these are great, but the only one that still sticks with me is Star Fox, which is why Nintendo needs to make a new Star Fox game and not release the same thing over and over again.
There you go.
That's fun. All right, that was good. Moving on here, Black Mage. And this is actually the last question of the night, Pete. He goes, "What's up, panel? You all are always keeping it real. Damn right, we try, man. No fakery around here, you know, unlike some other podcasts and some other influencers, but we won't talk about those people here." You know, there's a lot of fake motherfuckers out there, man. Some guys that like to name themselves after Sega consoles we all love. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the question is, and this one's interesting because I'm literally just hearing about this from the question. So hopefully somebody else will know more. Listen, man, I've been watching EVO all weekend. I haven't had time to research this shit. What are your thoughts on EA's latest ad scheme? Do you think there will be a future where you'll have the option to buy an ad-free game or suffer through having ads emblazoned on the latest Mass Effect Starship? I don't know what he's referring to. Is EA putting ads in all their games now? Because EA is notorious with that shit. You know, they're notorious. You play an EA game, again. You play an EA racing game, bro. You'll see shit everywhere. You know, and fucking, I remember, I think it was Need for Speed, one of them, the one with the live action characters. You know, every time you call someone, there's a T-Mobile logo, you know, so this isn't new, but if somebody can enlighten me on this, are they doing something, like, are they updating this? Because they've done this before, you know? EA is probably the most notorious when it comes to in-game advertising, you know?
I remember in not Crash and Burn. What is it? Burnout. They had live ads, and I remember one when Obama was looking to become the president. There was actually an ad for his for his in that side of there. So yeah,
let's look at this. So what are we doing here?
Or was it Need for Speed? It was one of them that had like live ads that you could buy. In there.
So I'm reading this from EA's website from June 15th. So this is from a little bit ago. Burnout Paradise Obama ads. Yeah, that was around that same time, 2008. I'm not gonna read this from EA. Where's the news? I'm read this from a website. You got to give me the summary, motherfucker. You know, is it just for sports games? Here we go. EA wants your sports games to be as ad written as real sports. Electronic Arts announced the launch of a new brand on Monday, but it's not one you'll likely get excited about. EA Advertising, that's the name of it, is a quote new platform transforming how brands connect with audiences through digital and real world experiences across its global portfolio of games, end quote. Basically, hey, it's our new initiative to put ads and shit. Translation. EA wants to put even more product placement and advertising in its games, like the low sponsorship in its football games. Okay, so I think that's the gist of it. I guess the other question is, do you think there'll be a future where we remove ads? That's a bleak. Oh my God, I just fucked myself up right now. I was about to say that's a bleak future. The president's already fucking bleak. You have to laugh at this shit. How horrible everything is, you know. But I can see that. Hey, like a fucking Kindle, right? You buy a Kindle for $100, but you want it ad-free, you pay $120. I would not be surprised if we do some shit like that with games. Oh, yeah, you could buy the $60 game. You want it without ads, though? $80. Bro.
Uh-oh.
Fuck. Black Mage, I don't like this question, man. I don't like what you're implying, sir. Because I see it happening. Fuck, man. Mm.
They got to find ways to make more money. So, I mean, that's the logical step.
I know. I mean, yeah, they got to make money. So you put ads in games. But if you don't want to look at those ads, you buy the $80 copy. But the real game's $60, guys. We're the good guys here.
Oh, yeah.
We're so fucking cooked.
I can't wait for the next for the Halo Infinite 2 to have, you know, Master Chief with Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Can you imagine that shit, man? You're about to go face the final boss and it just stops for a fucking commercial. Oh, man. You're about to face blah, 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 blah. Why not take a break with Mountain Dew?
The easiest game, and you talked about this, to do this and it not being as intrusive are racing games, because you can just, the billboards everywhere.
Yeah. You race through them.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what they did. Yeah. Yeah, so, but, like, if you're trying to, like, let's say the next Ratchet & Clank game.
Fuck.
It's like, that'd be a little bit more difficult to do without it, you know, breaking the fourth wall type of thing.
Yeah, like, you got to be appropriate with this stuff. You can't just throw a fucking ad for, like, you know, Hellman's mayonnaise in Ratchet & Clank, you know?
Or, you know, yeah, Blue Chew shit.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it, man. But it would be EA to do this shit, wouldn't it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, any other thoughts on this?
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
I heard Rich is looking forward to this.
Yeah, Rich, what do you think about this nonsense?
Well, based on what I've seen, the question is about if this is going to become a standard practice. There are virtually ads in everything. You know, Xbox, anytime I turn on my Xbox, I see ads. Obviously, when you turn on PlayStation Now, you see all this marketing for Grand Theft Auto 6. And even if you are someone who watches wrestling like I do, ESPN, all of WrestleMania, that entire show, most of it was ads. So I think, yeah, this whole thing about the ad, and again, if you're paying for that service, you're already paying to watch the event. So, yeah, ads will always be on everything, including the gaming stuff specifically, because they got to make sure that they're making their money.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, with the rise of, you know, with the cost of everything going up, I can legitimately see gaming going, yeah, we need to add more ads and shit. And then they make us pay more for games if we don't want ads. I don't know if we should put that in the accountability room, because I think that's going to happen. It's crazy.
Hey, but I can already hear the companies saying, it's like, hey, well, if we didn't have ads, Concord would have failed. It would have failed on its own. You know?
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's how they do it to justify. It's like, oh, we can't make games if we, you know, it's because of Viagra that we can, and Cialis that we can make this game come to life, you know?
Oh, man. Uh-oh. You ain't lying.
You know, that it's how we kept our game servers running for longer than 4 months.
By the way, I love how I'm scrolling the timeline and there's literally a Unreal shooter right now. I forgot about this one. Jurassic Park, the arcade game by Sega.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
That was in all those arcades back in the day.
Yeah. But yeah, put a pin in it. I think within the next year or two, this is going to happen, unfortunately, you know. All right. We're about to wrap up. But before we go, and because Reggie's here, I want to have some fun.
Uh-oh.
And this is not video game related. So, you know, bear with us. But, you know, for you guys who don't know, our friend Reggie, Weapon X, you guys know him from the Warzone back in the day. Big fan of X-Men 97. Loves it. And the main thing for him was Mr. Gambit dying. One of the most emotional things ever in his life, right? And I told him, I was like, hey, I had this conversation with Manny. They're probably going to bring Gambit back. He's probably going to be Horseman of Apocalypse. Hasn't happened yet in season 2, Reggie, but all signs are pointing to that happening, you know? Marvel actually cleverly did something. They have a dedicated video for Apocalypse that, you know, get you ready. Apocalypse is going to be in season 2. That's already your first clue. The thumbnail, Manny, I don't know if you saw the original thumbnail. It's Apocalypse hand with a burnt playing card, right? And now we saw a leak of Gambit as, you know, the Horseman, you know, of the Apocalypse.
As death.
And in case you guys go, that's a spoiler. No, it's not, because it happened in the comics. That's where they're pulling that from.
It happened in the comics. But, you know, one thing I'll have to say about that leaked design of this show. Why is he wearing his outfit?
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be. He should be wearing the white suit that he died. And why does he have a ripped up, torn up version of his Gambit suit? Just saying.
Yeah. I think that design is probably BS, but I think that will happen in the show, you know, because the official sources are already pointing to that. And it happened in the books, you know. But Reggie, I'm just telling you, get ready, man. Emotionally get ready, you know. are they going to do Age of Apocalypse 97? They already did Age of Apocalypse in the original show.
They already did Age of Apocalypse in the original show.
They already did in the original show. So don't need to do it in this one, you know.
Oh, if you look at all the outfits, it's all the later stuff. It's stuff past the 90s.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I'm like, that Grant Morrison costume, you know, that's from 2001. Okay.
They have the Grant Morrison one, but they don't have the Grant Morrison Beast. Is normal Beast.
Yeah, he's not Cat Beast. but yeah, Reggie, just wanted to let you know, get ready for that. You know, just based off, you know, what Marvel is showing and what we know happens in the comics. Although it is different in the comics. In the comics, Gambit doesn't die. He volunteers to do it. In this one, it seems to be the traditional way. You die, get brought back. Like Wolverine, he died and he got brought back. At probably death as well. Everybody becomes a horseman of the apocalypse eventually. But yeah, Marvel is setting you up for the return of Apocalypse, you know? And, you know, he's going to need some horsemen, you know? But that is, you know, but the reason I bring it up is because of Tokon. Tokon's fucking dope. Maybe Gambit will be in it one day.
I mean, he is like a very popular character, so yeah. I wouldn't I wouldn't be beyond them to toss them in, right? You know, yeah. Again, like they have a lot of the popular characters in there already. You know, they got your Spider-Mans and your Captain Americas and your Deadpools now.
Yep.
Loki was an interesting one.
Yeah, that is a very interesting one. And apparently he changes shape. So maybe he's going to be like the Shang Tsung of the game, you know, change to other characters.
Yeah, that might be interesting where he'll have an uppercut that's in like another person. Like he's sort of like the, you know, those kind of clone characters.
Yes.
Where like for one shot, they'll turn into another character.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. All right. To start wrapping it up. Rich, what's going on with the coalition this week?
Yeah, there is actually plenty of gaming related stuff that I will finally be able to talk about later this week. So definitely encourage you to check out. Stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming. And shout out to Mr. Adam Vale with the TV Terminal. Yes, still continuing to cover a lot of different shows. We actually just covered the show from the season finale. So definitely check that out over at the TV Terminal as well as the Coalition. And stay tuned. Like I said, plenty of gaming things on the way this week.
All right. Good stuff. Manny, what you got?
Well, you know, I'm going to keep talking about it until it happens. I would say number one, we just announced our new comic book called Dinner Date with Joanne Starr, Kari Randolph on art and me on colors. That's going to be coming out in September. Also, Comic-Con is coming up, you know, San Diego Comic-Con is coming up really soon. So there might be some more announcements as far as that book and other projects that I have been with, you know, but I'm not saying which. Hmm. And also the other book that Kari and I did a cover for is TMNT, Tales of the TMNT, which is a based off of the more recent show. We did a cover for that. So that got both those two things got dropped at around the same time. So everybody's getting prepared for Comic-Con. That's something to look forward to because, you know, we do have Evo coming up and we do have Evo going on right now, but Comic-Con is also a nice place to get some really good gaming information. So probably keep an eye on that thing. I don't know anything, but I'm sure there's stuff that you might want to look
for. Reggie, man, inside scoop.
No inside scoop.
Reggie wants it. He's saying, can we see the cover?
The cover? I mean, it's out on the net right now, so. It's on my social media right now. So if you look there or you look on my Twitter or my Instagram, it's there.
There you go. All right. And also, I'm not plugging anything of mine, but I did this on Thursday and I'll do it again since we're talking about comic books. Yo, man, go buy John Byrne's X-Men Elsewhen. This is basically his take of what would have happened after he had left because the book didn't go in it went in a different direction, which I still think was awesome. But, you know, he wouldn't have killed Phoenix for one, you know, Jean Grey is very much still alive here. And you get, you know, his incredible artwork, John Byrne, you know, he's fucking awesome. And he also said this is probably going to be his last hurrah. Like after the three volumes come out, he thinks it might be time, you know, very interesting. By the way, this art, you know, looks very Neil Adams inspired. Which is kind of interesting. John Byrne's style didn't change too much, but it changed over the years because he's doing his own inks, for example, on this.
Yeah, I mean, I would say about John Byrne, like in general, because of the way he, you know, when he, his work looks about the same as the last time you've seen his work.
Yes.
So if we're talking about like when he was doing, you know, when he did the reboot on Spider-Man, like over 20 years ago.
I remember that.
Like that sort of era of stuff. I don't think he did any regular books after that, did he?
No, not really. Hey, this is fun. Fantastic Four. Obviously, he arguably did one of the best runs on Fantastic Four after Kirby on Stan Lee.
Or, well, yeah, well, what was it with Walt Simonson?
No, well, he just did this on his own. You know, John Byrne, mm-hmm. he wrote and drew it. Walt did, but that was happening during the same time Walt was doing the Thor. So there was a lot of good stuff mm-hmm. happening in the early 80s. But yeah, this is still, I believe, still sold out. But Amazon will, you know, they're printing more. So check this out and put in your pre-orders for when Volume 2 comes out, which should be at the end of the year. I just want to plug John Byrne because some stupid bitch was trying to say don't buy it because it's John Byrne. Fuck you. Go buy it. The book already sold out. So your stupid boycott didn't work. You know, it's ridiculous. Tony, show Scott Summers. There.
He's down there. It's John Byrne era, era of Cyclops. So he's in his, pirate boots and, he's got his pirate boots and his yellow breeches on.
I still miss old Iron Man.
Mm-hmm, just the little line instead of having all the little like circuit boards and things all over.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, I was looking at, I believe it was Armor Wars. John Romita's art is unrecognizable in that. That's where he still drew like his dad, you know?
If you look at John Romita Jr.'s work, his work looks close to his father back then. Like when he got onto X-Men, that's when he started to look more like himself a little bit different.
Yeah, that was good. Because, he started doing that X-Men right after Dave Cockrum left. Because it was interesting. John Byrne was on it. Dave Cockrum started it. John Byrne got on there. Dave Cockrum came back again. And then sometime a little bit after that, John Romita Jr. came on. And yes, by that point, he's recognizably John Romita Jr. But again, I was looking at Armor Wars. I'm like, holy shit. that's John Romita Jr.? It's crazy. Shout out to John Romita Jr. too. Some motherfuckers trying to bring him down, you know?
Yeah. Also, you also have to pay attention to if John Romita Jr. is being inked by his father. His father, John Romita Sr., if he inks anybody, they look kind of like his work. So true. If you ever see him like do like Gene Colan, like when Gene Colan was doing Spider-Man and John Romita Sr. was doing it, it looked like John Romita Sr.'s work. Yeah. So even when he inks his own son, it sort of starts to look like his son, like his dad.
Yeah. There was a time, and you know this, that John Romita Sr. was actually the art director there at Marvel. So everything kind of looked like his stuff, you know?
It was what they call him, Romita's Raiders, which he had a very sort of like strong, he had a really good in-house team that sort of helped, did a lot of art corrections and fixes. I unfortunately missed that era of Marvel.
Yeah.
He retired in 1996. I got into Marvel as an intern in 1998. So only like 3 years later.
Yeah. I was reading, the first time Superman and Spider-Man teamed up. He redid all of Peter's faces in that book, John Romita Sr. Mm-hmm. He redo it all, which is hilarious. Yep. And apparently both characters, they each have the same amount of screen time and the same amount of words. Like they were, because this is the first time they teamed up. They were still like kind of weird about each other, so they're very protective of their characters. Mm-hmm. Kind of funny, man. I was 18 in 98. Same, me too. So, and so was Manny.
Yeah. 1998.
We're all born in 1980, Reggie. You're the same age, baby. Yep. By the way, remember that fucking idiot on Twitter the other day? Oh, I'm 41 and I know I'm 46, motherfucker. Don't try to tell nothing, you know?
Don't try to tell me nothing, man. I'm 41. Well,
youngin'
poor
then.
Baby.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
You're youngin' then. Let me teach you something, son. Anyway, let's start wrapping up, man. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join a Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang. Shout out to the new people on Discord. The new person was cool. It was the fucking bot that turned against us, and I had to kick that shit out. Fuck the bot, but the Discord is cool. I kicked the bot out. You know, the bot was doing good. He was doing good for many, many years. And then this, literally for years, we've been on that Discord for fucking forever, you know? And then his fucking bot decides, I'm going to talk to people now. No, you're gone, you know? Anyway, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. And links to everything are down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. We shall return on Thursday. Later.